Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And they're epic euphoria gummies. Well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, and you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner, like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. Shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We've discussed Leah Thomas, the transgender swimmer for the University of Pennsylvania, for a while on this show. We've made our speculations about unfair advantages and what it would actually be like to swim against other girls. Today, Dan, we have a lady who actually did swim against Leah Thomas. Riley Gaines is on the show. How are you, Riley?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. We cleared up the bird situation. Before we went on air, there was a lot of birds where you are. Where are you right now?
Yeah, I'm actually in Lexington, Kentucky still. I'm on campus at UK. I graduate in about a week or so. So soaking up my last couple weeks here.
Congratulations. What'd you major in?
Human health sciences, and I'm going to dental school.
Human health sciences. What are you going to do with that?
Yes. Dental school.
Oh, right on. Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Now, did you just rage at Keeneland?
I did go to Keeneland last week. It was a lot of fun. The weather here has been great, so that's a plus.
What the fuck is Keeneland?
Yeah.
It's a pre-Kentucky Derby race where all the UK kids are huge parties.
Why would I know or care about some bullshit that's happening in Hillbilly, Kentucky?
It's one of the best college parties in the country.
No. God damn it, Dan. You live in a fucking dark place, a dark, cold place, my man.
No, I don't need to be surrounded by retards to have fun.
That's no, you do. No. You actually do.
No, I don't.
Dan does drugs in his place alone at night.
Sometimes,
and that's like, you can't judge us by that, okay?
I smoke DMT and watch documentaries about space.
Yeah, that sounds awful. What she's doing sounds like the greatest goddamn time in America. And Riley, I'll make a quick suggestion. Stay for a fifth year. Stay for an extra year, Riley, because you'll miss it when you get out.
I know it. I know I will. My coach tells me the same thing.
Oh, everybody will. My first experience with it was I was at the Kentucky Derby, and I ran into some people who had graduated before me, and they were like, don't ever leave. Stay an extra year if you can. That would be amazing.
I'm hoping to go to dental school here, so I'll still be here.
Okay, right on. I would imagine, though, you're under scholarship at Kentucky for swimming, and it's probably up after 4 years, right?
Well, because of COVID, you can actually take another year. But I've exhausted my swimming career. I think it's time to call it quits. So I will not be doing that.
Well, let me ask you this. Because you did swim against Leah Thomas. Are you calling it quits because of that in the future of women's swimming in athletics? Or are you just calling it quits because you're done with swimming personally?
Yeah, no, not specifically. I do think that is, you know, definitely something that people should start looking into, you know, who are pursuing college athletics, but not in my case. I think I've just done my 4 years here. I'm ready to, you know, start a career, continue school, things like that.
You know what the good thing is about being a swimmer is nobody really knows what you look like. So you can show up to like a local lap pool and just fuck people up.
Oh yeah.
And like, just make that noise all the time.
You'll be dominating the rest of your life.
Dude, that's all I would do.
Yep. And in whatever neighborhood you live in with your husband and kids later in life, you will be able to dominate the entire neighborhood and they'll have no idea. And then one day you can be like, dude, I was a college swimmer.
I know it. The broad shoulders might give it away though.
Yeah, not that broad. Now the person you were going up against had very broad shoulders. What was that like for you going into the meet? Did you notice an unfair advantage just physically before you got into the pool that day?
Yeah, for sure. I think just looking at it outside, looking in, Leah's about 6'4", and I'm just over 5'5". So, I mean, that in and of itself is a pretty big difference that anyone can recognize. Not to mention the massive difference in muscle definition that, you know, we don't necessarily share. So yeah, just even you don't have to be an athlete or a swimmer to really recognize those things. So I think just looking there for sure is an unfair advantage.
Have you seen that episode of South Park where it's Heather Swanson, but it's the Macho Man, Randy Savage?
Yeah.
I can anytime I have this conversation,
you've got to bring it up.
It's all I can think about.
That's all you go to.
Yeah.
You were in the 200 freestyle final at the NCAA Women's Championship about a month and a half ago at this point. Now you tied for fifth against Leah Thomas in that event. And then they didn't give you the trophy because they didn't have enough.
Right. So after we finished the race, you kind of go behind the award podium thing where they distribute the trophies. And I had realized we tied. And so the official came up to me and he was like, "Hey, great swim. We're going to give the fifth place trophy to Leah. We only have one. Yours will come in the mail. You can pose with the sixth place trophy. You know, great job." And so I totally understand, you know, they only have one. But what I didn't really understand is why they were adamant on giving it to Leah. And so I just kind of asked him, I was like, okay, that's totally fine. But can I ask, you know, why you chose to give it to Leah after, you know, she won a national title the day before. And this was my best chance at that, this event. And so I just asked him and he said, "Well, we're giving it in chronological order." And so at this point, I kind of realized, I'm like, okay, well, what do you mean chronological order? Because we tied. He just looked at me and said, "We're giving the trophy to Leah. Great job." And so then it had hit me that, you know, they weren't giving the trophy to Leah for any other reason than to simply save face if it came down to any sort of backlash or anything like that. And so that really fired me up. Not only were they, you know, allowing this to happen, but Leah was getting the preferred treatment. And so it really took me aback, honestly.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I'm assuming, and this is just a guess because I wasn't there, the optics of it, if they were to give you the trophy and then have her stand next to you, would have made them appear as if, they hate transgenders. And I think that's a lot of the fear that's going on right now as far as people speaking out against it in women's athletics is that they're worried of the backlash that would happen to them online.
For sure. Definitely. I think, you know, one, swimmers who aren't seniors and have a couple more years, they're scared to speak out of it because of their athletic career. But people in my position who are graduating, they're scared to speak out of it because of your either professional career or academics or future endeavors with whatever you do. And so there's definitely that fear of backlash. And not only that, people are told, you know, they're not allowed to speak about it. And so it just blows my mind how people have this control over our voices. And that's something that I knew going into the meet, if I was presented with an opportunity and no one else necessarily had spoken about it, it's something that I was willing to do. And God honestly gave me a great opportunity for it. And the whole situation in general. And so it's not something I necessarily wanted to be quiet about because it's something I find to be extremely wrong.
What did you find was the general attitude back on campus? Right. Not necessarily just amongst the swimmers, but amongst your peers and shit like that.
Right. I know I can't speak for absolutely everyone, but I can speak for the majority, especially within female athletes who recognize that this is completely unfair. Leah swam for the men's team for 3 years before going to the female team. And so, I mean, that statement in and of itself is like, how can you have someone, you know, be at college for 3 years as a male on a men's team at a D1 university and then just flip over to the woman's side? And so I feel like anyone with common sense and any sort of, you know, acknowledgement of fairness would recognize how this is wrong.
Yeah. And here's why I asked at the top of the show what you were planning on doing for a living. So if you're going to be a dentist, for example, like you said, you don't want to be known as the transphobic dentist.
Right, definitely not.
If you came out, because that would follow you forever. It's like the commercials for say, sure, you know, 99% of NCAA athletes won't turn professional, sure, and they have to get real jobs in the future. And you're worried about that following you the rest of your career, which could impact your own family and finances and everything else going forward. So I understand that. However, as women, why aren't women getting together the same way they did in, you know, for the Me Too movement or something else to protect women's athletics, women's scholarships? Why hasn't there been more done as far as protesting from women's groups and getting together and saying, hey, not only is this wrong, but you're taking away records, potential scholarships, and you're changing the future and the face of female athletics?
Right. I think it's something that's so new and hasn't been until I feel like the swimming NCAA championships on such a high caliber was so much at risk. But when we had our meet and you have a biological male winning a national title, it doesn't get any more, you know, intense and severe than that. And so I feel like now groups are being formed. I've been in contact, or a couple of people, different groups have been in contact with me. And so I feel like maybe from here, it'll start to hopefully, you know, fall into place and more people would be willing to speak out about it, because this is something that definitely, is something that definitely needs to be handled with quantity and with volume. And the more voices there are, the better. And so I feel like hopefully with all of this situation at light, people can realize the trajectory of sports and women's sports specifically.
Yeah, it's not just this. It's not new, though. I think that's a mistake a lot of people are making. 2008 is when the term TERF was coined, right? Mm-hmm. Trans exclusionary radical feminist. And it was a wedge issue in inside a group that was pretty effective, right? The feminist second wave feminist movement especially was extremely successful in doing what they did. And all the discussion about TERF bullshit from really around 2010 until right around the new, like, you even if you look back through all the articles and the especially the opinion articles and some of the more radical publications during the Me Too movement, TERF came up a lot. Like, oh, you don't care about black women or black bay or whatever the fuck, or you don't care about trans women's rights or whatever the fuck, right? It always came like that. They laid this groundwork for a long time so that they would be able to do this, right? They built the reactionary defense into the lexicon before they ever made the move to put women in men and women's sports, right? So this is a calculated move. Don't make any mistake about that.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see where it all goes. I also have a weird theory.
about Leah Thomas in general as this was going on, because she was favored to win this meet that you were in. She was favored to win the 200, and she ended up finishing, if memory serves me correct, maybe a second and a half or 2 seconds behind where she normally does. Once she won on day one, and you know, actually got the championship in that in her first event, I thought, and you could tell me different because you swam against her that day, it seemed to me like she didn't try hard enough just so she could say later on, hey guys, we're all on an even playing field. I only won one of these events, and you know, I got beat by these other people. Because if she would have swept all of the events across the board, I think there would have been more outrage. But it was like Dan said, it was almost like she was laying groundwork for other people to come in and be like, see, we can all compete against one another. Did you get that feeling when you were in the pool that day?
It's actually funny you say that, because you're the only other person outside of the swimming world who has kind of acknowledged that. And it's not something I've spoken about publicly before, because it's a lot of speculation and I don't want anyone, you know, just thinking I'm giving these theories and stuff. But anyone who knows swimming can understand kind of how splits work. Same thing in running. Swimming has splits. So each 50, generally your top swimmers swim it relatively the same way. And the way she swam it is not how anyone at our level swims it. She completely didn't try the first 100 mm-hmm. and then went a lot faster, almost negative split it the second 100. And that's just not how anyone at our level swims that race. It's virtually impossible to swim it and to negative split a 200 freestyle. And so I do agree with you. I think I even told a couple of my teammates and stuff this. I think she won the first day, you know, kind of made a statement. And then I think after that, it was kind of, look, we can compete and be equal or fair. Mm-hmm. And the last day in the 100 freestyle, she actually placed, I forget what place in the morning, but she made the A final back and then got last in that heat at night and looked like she went so much slower at night. And so I think she was trying to prove a point, which is really, really, really sad and heartbreaking for all the other females who have worked to get there and to have their spot taken away by someone who's not even necessarily trying their hardest.
Yeah, because when I watched it, that's the vibe that I got when I saw it, was like, okay, great, you won the first event. If you go on and dominate the rest of these events like you did the first one, there will be a massive uproar at that point. It almost seemed like it was staged or planned going in of like, okay, win the first one on day one, and then slowly, little by little, let everybody else win, compete, make it look like you lost, and make it look like this could be the future of transgender swimming or the future of female swimming by dumping the rest of the races. Because you're right, you don't do those negative splits like that. And if you did, it would be on the back half, not the front half. You're usually going out as fast as you can on the first one.
Right.
And then the second one, if you were tired and slowed down at that point, it would have made it more realistic to me. And it wasn't. It's exactly like you said, you don't swim like that. That's just not how it's done. And right. And if you get tired or exhausted towards the end, great. That probably would have been the best way to fake it. But the way she did it didn't make sense to me when I was watching it in real time.
Right. And like you mentioned, it was about 2 seconds slower than she had been in a couple months prior, even a couple weeks prior when she swam at her Ivy League meet. And so I think if she had gone the time that she was seated top in the nation with going into the meet, I'm not sure if it would have won, but actually I am sure it would have won. So that's just a bit, I think your theory is not far off.
Okay. Another question I've been dying to ask you is with Katie Ledecky's records. She owns pretty much everything there is in swimming, is probably arguably the greatest of all time in collegiate swimming. Would you say that's probably the case?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Was Leah Thomas simply just not good enough to beat Katie Ledecky's records across the board? Was Katie Ledecky that dominant that no one could touch them? I know Leah got close, but never, I don't think, passed any of her records to my knowledge.
No, she didn't. That's tricky because, like we mentioned, I just can't tell how hard she was necessarily pushing herself, if she was, you know, going full out. But Katie Ledecky was extremely dominant. There's no one at least no other biological female anywhere in her realm in the sport of swimming. And so she's really kind of a freak. It's amazing,
right.
But I'm not sure if, you know, Leah was performing to her best, because as a male, her times definitely beat Ledecky when she swam as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
But as a female, I think she was probably about 20 seconds slower. I don't know if that's full effect of the testosterone blockers or, you know, like simply not trying as hard. But didn't break them this time.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that I kept thinking about was that planned or was, you know, that on purpose.
Right.
And is that her last year of swimming? Is her eligibility up now?
I believe so. She swam 3 years as a male. I think she, during COVID, took a year off. I believe this is when she started her hormone blockers. And then she swam as a female. So I don't believe she has any more eligibility.
Okay. Because that's also another big factor that goes into it for me personally, where if it is your last year and you are going to prove a point for the future generation of transgender athletes crossing over into female athletics, then yeah, I would, you know, mentally plan it out like that to where it seems like it could potentially be an even playing field and dump some of these races, win a few of them, and then kind of go on about your life after that. Otherwise, if she had another year of eligibility left, all eyes would be on her, and then there would be simply no excuse not to break all these records.
You can shear a sheep many times, but you can only skin them once. You know what I mean? Like, if you go full bore and show people what it's really about, then nobody comes next after you.
Right, right.
But there's a really easy way to solve this. A DXA scan, right? You can go to Lifetime fucking Fitness and get one right now, and it shows you your bone density, mm-hmm. right? Fucking how much skeletal muscle mass you have and shit like that, and see how it compares to the women in your field.
Yeah.
That's a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck are we even talking about here? Why are we persisting in this goddamn delusion? It's so weird that we've gotten to this point in society where everybody's so afraid to just say, dude.
Right.
And meanwhile, by the way, everybody, all these fucking retards on the internet, the online internets, you mm-hmm. may have heard of them.
Sure.
They're writing these articles about how fucking trans women can show real women a thing or two about being a woman. No, they can't, because they're not fucking women. You're born with a dick. God fucking damn it, dude.
Yeah.
This shit's driving me crazy. I'm like this close to snapping.
Yeah, Dan snapped a lot in his life, if you haven't, if you couldn't tell. But yeah, I mean, with that, what happens next, I guess? I mean, I think certainly somebody will swim again. You know, more people will cross and swim again, and eat up scholarships and break records.
Look, Alex Rodriguez never went to college, right? Mm-hmm. So he can go play women's softball, I would imagine.
Sure.
He should just go there. He hit like 800 home runs.
J.R. Smith it.
Yeah, J.R.
Go full J.R. Smith. Why not?
Go back to college.
Jose Canseco definitely didn't go to college. He can't fucking read.
Yeah, why not?
So
why not? But what I've said on this show, Riley, is, I think the breaking point for women's athletics, and I mean this with all sincerity, is I think it will be basketball. I think if somebody crosses over into basketball and starts dunking on everybody else, for real, because I think that will be the breaking point of like, this is too much. Because right now, swimming, female swimming doesn't gain as much attention as like men's, you know, as a basketball program, for example. So if you went to like a UConn or somebody like that, and then you ended up in March Madness in the tournament, and then, you know, you took off from the free throw line and dunked it, I think that would be the game changer. Would everybody would be outraged. But I think right now with female swimming, it's easier to kind of get away with it for now. I think maybe if it crossed over in a track and field in college, it would change. Because like we've had it here in Texas. We're in Austin, Texas. We've had it here in Texas where dudes were just wearing wigs and going out in these tournaments and just smoking female runners.
You see it in the split times in the like the mixed gender fucking relay races, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you make a decision on how to structure your team, like who goes first, who goes last, shit like that,
right?
And it's two men and two women typically, or some combination like that, and it's very clear what the fuck is going on there, right?
Sure.
Like you get a big lead with your dude guy, and then, or your dude fucking runner, and then your female runner kind of gets caught up with a little bit, and so on and so forth. This is stupid.
It is. What do you think the breaking point will finally be for this?
Probably, like you mentioned, a sport that generates more revenue. Like you said, swimming isn't something that typically gains national attention. But once athletes start getting scholarships and really, you know, making more of a presence, that's when hopefully the public can realize that something is wrong here. This can't continue if you want to, you know, save the integrity of women's sports that Title IX has fought so hard the last 50 years for. That completely, you know, destroys all of that. I think it'll be when it's a sport that gains more attention, that people have more investing in and things like that.
June 21st is the 20th anniversary of Juana Man.
Is it really?
Yes.
Man, we got to celebrate it.
Yeah, I will. Watch along. I will. When's the WNBA season start again?
I don't know.
It's, I believe, active. It's right after the NBA.
It's a summer league.
Yeah,
right?
it's either about to start or it already started.
I don't think it started yet. I think it starts in May.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out. I'm curious, when you guys were at the meet, did you ever get a chance to talk to her, or did anybody talk to her? Did she stay to herself? Like, how did that work out with all the other women who were getting ready to participate in these events around Leah Thomas?
Right. So her team only had maybe two or three qualifiers just because they're not typically a great swimming school. She didn't have a lot of teammates there, but there was actually another transgender there who was female transitioning to male swimming with the females and they seemed to be good buddies. And she actually swam topless, at an all females meet, which was another thing that was completely crazy to me.
Wow. That's nuts. I saw a picture of that, but it appeared it was after the meet. You're saying she swam the whole race topless?
Not the races, but warm-ups and such. She did, yeah.
Why didn't that gain any news coverage?
I think because if you're trying to hit the argument that, you know, people should compete with their biological genders, if you start, you know, putting media about a biological female who's competing with the females doing something wrong, then that's when it starts to look like, you know, the issue is with transgender athletes and such. And that's not necessarily the problem. I don't want anyone to, you know, you said it earlier, think I'm some big transphobe or things like that, because that's not what it is. I could care less about, you know, people's transitioning or their athletic career. But once you start to infringe on women's sports, that's where, you know, a line has to be drawn. But I don't think it was mentioned because I don't think the media really wants to draw attention to the fact that, you know, more transgenders are competing, but they're following the guidelines at least most of us would be okay with, which is, you know, competing with your birth certificate gender.
Right. With the woman who is transitioning to a male, was she taking testosterone at that point then?
She had stopped taking testosterone. I believe she did for a while, but she wasn't anymore, I believe. I'm not 100% certain, but the two of them made up 25% of the 100 freestyle A final, which was kind of wild to me.
Holy shit. Yeah. And nobody said anything about that either, of like, oh, hey, that testosterone is going to give you an unfair advantage.
Right. No. I don't know how long she had been off of it for, to be fair. So I'm not 100% certain on that topic, but yeah.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Leah Thomas, wasn't her first loss to another transgender swimmer as well?
I'm sure. And it was probably he goes by Isaac. So
Isaac.
Yes, okay. I believe so.
And so Isaac was a man who transitioned to or was in the process of transitioning into a woman?
No, Isaac is the female who was swimming topless at the meet.
Got it. And he goes by Isaac. Okay. Sorry, it's not that common of a girl's name.
It's hard to get in the swing of being using the right words and pronouns and such. And I always want to be respectful of people, but it is difficult. So
it is. And there's so many, and it changes every day. And I feel like LGBTQ, there's always a letter added. I think it's down but to how, I or A.
How respectful are we required to be with someone like Rachel Dolezal, for example?
Not at all. I'm not. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to start applying the same logic there because this is all fucking stupid. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Like in 1984, Orwell literally wrote that in the end, the party would tell you that 2 + 2 = 5 and you would be forced to believe it. Right.
Yeah.
And these assholes, the same one that are running this propaganda stream last year, literally tried to fucking convince everybody that 2 + 2 = 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the guy who came up with it was confronted in an interview, you'll hear about this more in my interview with Douglas Murray at the end of the week on American Party. The guy was confronted with it by a journalist and he said, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that you've just been exposed as a retarded person. Jesus fucking, I'm really tuned up.
Yeah, today. No, I can tell you're tuned up today. You're tuned up today. What did your parents say, Riley, as this was going on?
Yeah, they're definitely supportive of me and they're protective of me. And so I was raised to speak, you know, my mind and stand up for my convictions and stuff. And so my parents are proud of me. They're glad that I'm taking a stand. My dad feels pretty strongly about it. He doesn't, you know, necessarily like the fact that I was sharing a locker room with someone who has complete different parts than me. That's just any parent I feel like would, you know, see an issue with that. And so they are proud of me, to say the least. So
that's great. Cause I look as a parent, cause I've got two kids, I'm about to have my first daughter, in about a week and a half.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm waiting to find out if it's, if you it's don't mine know. Or, you don't know or if, someone else's.
You don't know like the race.
Well, yeah, I still don't know the race yet, everything else. So like I'll wait, you know, I'll reserve judgment until my wife is actually in there.
Until that fucker pops out.
Yeah. And then I'll say, that kind of looks like me. That's fine.
But your caveman instinct is to, if it doesn't look like you, destroy that thing, right?
Well, not the thing, but the whole building itself.
Yeah, and just bring it down around all you, the ground. Like fucking Samson. Yeah. Just pushing pillars apart. Fuck you.
Have to at that point. But, you know, I can say, like, you know, as from a parent who's about to have a daughter, like, I would be like I would be outraged if I was your father, because it is a completely unfair advantage to just swap like that. And all the hard work you've put in, not just during this race, but over the years and years and years leading up to getting a scholarship for University of Kentucky, which is 1% of people get a shot like that at a D1 school. I mean, it's unbelievably hard. And all those years and hours you spent in the pool and your parents toting you around to all those events as a kid and everything else. And then to finally get to the national championships and, hey, guess what? You're swimming against a guy for your last meet right before you go on into your career path in life would just absolutely suck. Now, on my side, one of our producers, Bob, has a son. And, you know, since I'm going to have a daughter, I'm one of the best children's coaches of all time. And I'm not afraid. We won again over the weekend, by the way, still undefeated in soccer. I'm one of the best child coaches of all time.
The kid's like 7 years old.
Eight. He's 8 years old. And they're champions. They're about to go undefeated. 2 games left. Okay, no. Riley? Austin Bulls, we're rooting for him. But with that, I'm going to put my daughter against Bob's son just so my daughter can beat him. Because of that, you know, Bob's son is going to have the advantage. I know that. But I want to rip away his whole fatherhood and everything else. I want to rip that from him. And I can do that as a child. And it's hilarious.
I look forward to watching the love leave your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's hilarious. But you know what you're getting at, like, child sports like that. Like, I've coached T-ball and everything else. There has been some fathers who wanted their girls to play with boys and all that other stuff. And at a young age, who cares? There really isn't too much of a big advantage.
I mean, it's not until you go through puberty, really.
Correct. So at that point, who really gives a shit?
Yeah, but his baby is training to fight Delco.
Delco, yeah.
So it's like, if he's going to fight a grown 30-year-old man, I feel like he might have. You're going to have to pit your daughter against somebody.
Yeah.
We're having the neighbor's pit bull over tomorrow.
Are you really? Let's go.
Yeah, we're just leaving the two in the garage, and we'll see what happens.
Whoever, the baby up against the pit bull.
Yeah, if the pit bull wins, then you start calling the pit bull by the baby's
name.
Yeah,
the pit bull's the child. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Pit bulls love babies too. Well, They're super friendly.
They like the taste.
Yeah.
Probably should start with a corgi or something. It's a
maybe, and then work your way up.
Man, you gotta imagine that corgis are atheists, right? Like, if you're born into that body, you're like, there is no way there's a God. Yeah, there's no way there's and a God. If there is, what the fuck, bro? Yeah,
what'd you do?
Why would you do this to me?
Like, what'd you do?
Corgi, duckbill, platypus, there's a couple of them out there that have some questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, they do. They do. But back to children, that's a different story altogether. When you get to, you know, puberty and beyond, there's just no, I mean, it's not even close between men and women. And and it sucks. It is unbelievably unfortunate. What would you do for your daughters? Like, let's say you have daughters growing up, and they have to compete against this. What do you say? And like, is there anything you can take away from your experience and be like, all right, you could have a shot at winning? Like, what would you say to your kids?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a hard one. I've gotten a lot of messages about like, oh, well, why don't you guys just boycott, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, that's even worse for females. Then you don't have any females actually competing. And I get that's how you might make a change. But we've worked our whole lives for this whole experience and to be at a national level meet. So when people suggest those things, it's like, you know, yes, it could potentially fix the issue later on down the road, but it's putting a lot at stake. And so I don't know, my best advice I've learned through all of this, is to use your voice. And I know that's not necessarily a direct solution, but I feel like if there's more volume to it and more voices behind it, that's how it can change, not necessarily just boycotting or other things. Once the NCAA or other organizations realize how many people aren't okay with this and can see a problem with it, that's when there will be a change.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like thinking about it, I mean, even the first race that she won, did you ever get a chance to talk to the girl who came in second? Like, what were her thoughts on it standing next to her?
Right.
Cause we all saw the photo of the podium,
right,
and it looked, yeah. I mean, it was like Hulk Hogan versus everyone else. And you were like, dude, this is not even close.
Right. So she actually is an Olympian. She swam at the Olympics. Actually all three of those girls who got second, third, and fourth are Olympians. And so it's just crazy to me that you have someone as a first year female swimmer beating three of the best swimmers in the whole, I mean, world, the whole country, definitely, being Olympians. And so actually, I'm sure you guys have seen this, but the governor of Florida actually declared her the national champion, which I thought was really cool. Cause she's from Florida, the girl who placed second. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a really neat way to kind of honor her and her hard work. But yeah, I can't speak for her, but it seems like something she probably wasn't okay with, because I know if I was in the position where I got second behind Leah, I wouldn't be okay with it.
No. And you know, she didn't really speak out about it. So you wondered what it was really like behind the scenes. And especially when you deserve to win first, you deserve to be national champion. It's so infuriating that just watching it and then hearing about it again, because of all the hours and hard work you put in. And then one year somebody just decides, I'm all done swimming against the boys. I'm just going to flip flop into the girls and then win the national championship.
Right. Exactly.
What spot did Penn as a team finish in, for the meet itself?
I'm not 100% sure exactly, but they're definitely top 25, which is crazy. They got all those points from one swimmer. So to be a top 25 program with one person, it's just crazy. My school finished, I believe, 11th, and we had 14 girls there scoring points consistently. And so it's just crazy to me that one person can earn that spot for that whole team.
Hey, Riley, before we move on, we got some sponsors that actually pay for this show to be on the air. I know it is shocking that people actually pay us to do this show. First and foremost is ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 40% off that bundle package. Ooh, summertime is right around the corner. Get that cooling mattress, put it on an adjustable base, and live in the future. That's right. Welcome to 2030 at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Get 40% off the cooling mattress and the adjustable base when you package them together. And it's a hell of a savings. The base is amazing. It's remote control. It's got USB ports on it, flashlights. You can pop that bitch up in a book mode and enjoy your life, or TV mode. They're both different. There's different heights for all of it, depending upon what you're doing. That remote does everything you need it to do. And it's sleek, too. It could actually fit inside of you if it came down to it. I don't know what you're into, and I'm not going to guess. However, I bet you're going to do it on a bed. Why not do it on a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros? Now, if you want 30% off everything in the entire store, let's say you want the sheets, pillows, just the mattress, or just the adjustable base, pop it in the cart, and you get 30% off with the promo code drinkingbros at checkout. And now, for all of 2022, they've got a 60-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Try it now. Next up, we've got Roman. GetRoman.com/drinkingbros. Danthony, we got a little pre-Jack City on the show today, dude.
Well, it's a pre-vent pre-Jack.
Yeah,
and that's the whole purpose of that thing.
Pre-ejaculation is a real thing. You know how when you're wearing a great outfit, everything just looks right, confidence is soaring, you walk into a room knowing you're on your A game, been struggling with PE, Roman can give you that same feeling in the bedroom. Damn right. Man to man, I care about each and every one of you. I want you to feel confident. I want you to prioritize your health and your relationships. If you're ready to do that for yourself, start with Roman, okay? We like to have a lot of fun around here on the old Drinking Bros, so I know that if you guys are anything like me, you probably dread wasting time in boring waiting rooms and having to spend money on a copay, and insurance is a hassle. You know how it goes. So for my fellas out there who are dealing with PE, I can tell you that Roman is the go-to on this one. Roman swipes are clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. No prescription needed. PE treatments are safe, effective, and used by millions of men. And you got a free 2-day shipping on that. So you got a big weekend coming up. Just go ahead and pop in that order over at GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. If approved, you'll get $10 off your first order. That is GetRoman.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we got HardAFSeltzer.com. Let's go, D'Anthony. Let's go.
Yeah, we're taking some down to the Black Rifle archery thing.
Yeah.
This week. Should be a fun time.
Should be a blast down there. Are you heading down to that event?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow night.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. The 8% will be flowing tomorrow night. They can be flowing at your house as well. Why? Because you can order them online and get them shipped to your house. Plus, we only ship in a big boy size. We only ship in cases because we want you to have a full-on goddamn party the second these things show up. 8%, the original flavors are still in there. We got the blue raspberry, we got the peach, we got the lemon lime, and we got the strawberry shortcake. Go to hardafseltzer.com, order yourself a case. It'll come right to your house. And be careful over that 8%. It's going to sneak up on you. No carbs, no sugars, though. Go to hardafseltzer.com today. Order yourself a case of booze. So do you think in the future they'll be recruiting more and more transgender athletes so they can win and compete? Because it does, look, for better or worse, it brings a lot of attention to the sport and a lot of attention to that particular school. Do you think this will persist?
I don't know. I don't see an ethical way of this recruiting process happening, or how you really even get into the nose of what to do here, being a coach and trying to recruit. I would imagine that's extremely difficult. So I don't know how I see that going. But I think if the opportunity was presented, schools wouldn't necessarily turn it away, because like you said, it is something that could ultimately make the program better if you're looking at it in sheer numbers. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't they? So I don't know. I think that's a hard one. Especially, I mean, scholarships are being taken. There was a, I believe somewhere, I think Washington State, I think it was a track runner. They had a female scholarship offered to a biological male, which is just crazy. So I don't know how I see that going, though. That's definitely a sticky one. It weighs a lot on your moral compass if that's something that, you know, you plan on doing as a coach.
Yeah, and the reason I ask is your coach for the men's basketball team at University of Kentucky is John Calipari. Yes. He's kind of the godfather of the one and done, and just recruits, you know, the greatest kids ever for 1 year, and then they move on. Right. And whether or not they actually stick with the program for 4 years and win multiple championships didn't really matter to him, and still kind of doesn't. And so I wondered if there was going to be a coach or a university or a program out there that is like, you know what? We saw everything that homegirl did. Why not just get five of them and really right. fucking dominate and win everything?
Exactly. And they definitely would if that was the case. So I don't know how I see it going, but I'm sure there's people out there who are kind of weaselly enough to do that. Mm-hmm. I know my head coach, he's amazing. He's like my best friend. I don't know if... I mean, I know he wouldn't necessarily actively pursue that because he cares about women in sports. So it's kind of this fine line if people want to cross it or not.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it all goes. You know, I heard the talk where you were chatting about earlier about walking out and nobody entering the pool, because if it was just Leah that jumped in that day, that would have made a huge statement. I think if this escalates to the point that I just said, I almost think you don't have a choice at that point.
Right. At that point, I don't think you do either. Unless they make up enough to where it wouldn't matter if you did, you know, but definitely not okay. I think at that point, if it's something where you have, you know, instead of just one national title being won by a male, if it's, you know, three or five or however many, that's a huge problem. And that's when something has to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's something to keep an eye on. We'll kind of transition out of this, pun intended. Nailed it.
Yeah.
God damn it. That's a great segue.
I can't deal with the phrase biological man anymore.
I can't either.
That's not a thing.
No, it's just man.
It's just
man and woman. And that's
it's like a female penis. Nope.
Nope. No. No, it's all
sorry.
It's all that.
It's not doing it.
We'll switch out of this real quick. I want to kind of chat about the NIL deals that are happening in college. I think you're the first, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but first attractive collegiate athlete we've had on this show. And I know that Barstool is in particular targeting, you know, hot girls right. who are swimming and on and track right. teams and basketball and everything else. Have you seen that at University of Kentucky where girls are getting NIL deals and how is that affecting this women's athletics?
Yeah. In terms of swimming, there's not a ton of opportunities. Well, I'm sure there is, but most swimmers don't have this huge following comparatively to other sports. And so, there's definitely been a lot of NIL deals on the track team and with basketball and things like that, but a couple small ones here and there for swimming. Nothing where you're getting paid a ton. It's more so just kind of receiving free products, which is still a good deal. But on the swimming side, not a ton of compensation being had from NIL deals.
Yeah, but ramen, man. Like, if I could get a deal with ramen, if I could have gotten a deal with ramen noodles in fucking college,
yeah,
I would have saved like $12-$13 at least.
Easily.
Like,
easily.
Over the course of the 8 years I did in college, I think at least $13.
How much ramen noodles did you eat in college? And would you be a sponsor for ramen? She yep. froze up.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Wait, can you hear me?
I know I look young, but I'm not in college. So I'm asking you.
She just went into a coma because she's hungry, because every college child is poor.
That's why we need ramen to start sponsoring some athletes.
I don't know if I eat ramen a lot. We have dining halls specific for athletes that give us a little better food than that.
Oh boy.
Is it different? Ooh. Yeah. Look
Didn't
at
know you
fancy
were so
jeans.
Fucking bougie. Yeah.
With a little more nutritional Jesus. Value. I'm a McDonald's advocate. I go to McDonald's at least probably 5 times a week. So I cannot say my diet
What's your McDonald's
yeah,
order?
What's your go-to at McDonald's? Do you go off menu? Do you ever go land, air, sea?
I normally get 2 McChickens, large fry, and sweet tea.
All right, dude.
That's a very Southern thing to order.
It sure is. And I'm proud of you. We're from the South. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I have never gone to McDonald's and not ordered a McChicken sandwich ever. Like, I don't care if I was getting the Big Mac meal or double quarter pound with cheese, which is also the number 4, whatever. That McChicken sandwich for $1 at the bottom right of the menu when you're driving through, I'm like, yeah, go ahead and throw one in the bag. That'll be a fun one on the way home before I dig into the main course.
You got to get one for the way home, for sure.
So I was not hating on your diet there, because mine is by no means great, but.
But you're a swimmer. You can burn those calories super quick.
Well, that was in college, too. I only eat meat now for the most part.
Same. Yeah.
I don't have time for fucking vegetables. Meat and salads. Shit like that.
Yeah. When you get old, your metabolism slows down and it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know. I'm nervous.
Go eat up. Enjoy the McDonald's while you can, because it's awful when you get to this age. Then you're fucking eating and drinking nothing. And we created our own seltzer that had no carbs or sugars in it for that reason.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Hard AF Seltzer. HardAFSeltzer.com. I tell you what, we'll ship you a case after the show is over.
There you go.
It'll be a little.
NIL deal.
Yeah, dude. And all you have to do is post a picture of it, and you get a free case of booze. It's 8%. There we go.
Is this,
is this
her first NIL?
Yeah, I think so. Do we give you your first NIL deal?
It's not my first, but.
Oh, it's not? You fucker. Who else has got you?
So I actually am partnered with Liquid IV.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
I'm drinking it right now.
So are we.
Are you? I love it.
Drinking it right now. LiquidIV.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 25% off. Huge fans of Liquid IV.
Well, so does promo code Riley.Gains.
No, forget that one. Forget that one.
Go ahead and bleep that out. Go ahead and delete that.
We'll cut that. Our entire audience switches promo codes right now.
Yeah. With Riley.Gains, 25% off.
There you go.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, we drink Liquid. I drink one of these every day. I probably have for close to 4 years. It's the best for hangovers and like just snapping back. It's cool to hear an actual professional athlete or a collegiate athlete drinks them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're great. So couple things going on with a couple different companies, but nothing too serious. But
Can I ask you, was it based on Instagram and looks, or was it based on you swimming against Leah Thomas?
This was actually before, but I am, going into the meet, I am one of like the top swimmers relatively in the country.
Put respect on her name.
No, I'm just saying, there's some perks to that. But I do have a decent sized following on Instagram and stuff with some likes, and I know companies look for that as well. So
okay, cool. And the reason I asked, by the way, wasn't like a sexist thing at all, but I know a lot of companies and podcasts and things like that are just simply going to female athletic Instagrams, seeing how hot they are, and being like, great, you, let's do deals.
Sure. No, for sure. Definitely depends on how many likes you get and stuff like that. That's something they look for. So for sure.
I tell you what, what's your Instagram? We'll pull it up here live on the feed, so maybe you can get some more followers here.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's Riley.Gains.
Okay, Riley.Gains, and then we'll go through it and ask you about every picture since you started Instagram, okay?
Don't go to the bottom.
There we go.
You said don't go to the bottom?
Don't go to the bottom? Why? What happened at the bottom?
That's when she was like fucking 50.
No, you go to the tagged photos. Swipe to the right.
Oh, you go to the tag photos?
I did that either.
All right, scroll down, Bob. Let's see the rest of these. There we go.
Okay. Did you place in the SEC?
Yes, I actually broke the SEC record in the 200 butterfly. So fastest time out of anyone to come out of the SEC, which is a pretty cool accomplishment. I won the 200 free the past 2 years, which is another pretty great accomplishment. Defending a title is always hard. I won Scholar Athlete of the Year out of the whole SEC. So
holy
there's
shit.
A brain in my head.
Would you say it just means more?
It just means more.
Nailed it, Bob, you son of a bitch. I went to Ohio State. So, gross. If I have to hear SEC one more fucking time at one of these games, Dan and I host a sports show too. So we go to every football game, big football game there is in the fall, college-wise. If I have to hear SEC chanted in my face one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
Don't act like you're not excited to see Bama fuck the shit out of Texas.
Yeah, but that's just because Texas fans are so fucking annoying.
Yeah,
that's fair. It has nothing to do with anything else. They're just like the most annoying fans within our proximity here.
Yeah.
Like Notre Dame's probably worse, but they're all the way up there.
They're all the way up there. And yeah, Bama that's fans Tennessee are the worst. Here. Oh, is it Tennessee?
I hate Tennessee. I think their fans are the worst.
It's funny because their football team sucks. Mm. So, you know,
every year they think they're going to be, you know, the top. First couple games go well and then it's
same with Notre Dame. Let me ask you this, because during your 4-year stint, Kentucky actually developed a great football team. How was going to the games?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think this year, this past year, we were, 6-0 at a point before we lost our first game, which is a pretty big deal. It was a lot of fun. The games were a lot more fun this year than my freshman year. So pretty cool.
Yeah, and it does cool things for the school. Whenever you have a great football team like that, it generates more eyeballs, more revenue, all that stuff. And you guys had a really fun team to watch this year. We gamble a lot on this show. We've got multiple gambling advertisers on this show. And mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros, doubles that deposit up to $1,000. I won a lot of money on Kentucky football this year. So I ended up watching a lot of games. That was fun. And then your basketball team is always great. How is the atmosphere at Rupp Arena? That's one place that I've actually never been.
Yeah, it's crazy. Rupp is great. It's huge. So basketball games are a lot of fun. It's a really good environment. I think our fans are great here. They're not as annoying as Tennessee or other places. And so it is a lot of fun. And Rupp has the best ice cream, so that's a plus.
Wait, I want to know, forget the atmosphere at Rupp. What was the atmosphere on campus the day after that loss to St. Peter's?
Oh, yeah. Were you there for that?
I was actually at NCAA's when that happened. So I wasn't on campus. I was in Atlanta. But even walking down the streets of Atlanta in our Kentucky gear and stuff, you have people screaming out of their cars like, "You ruined my bracket, blah, blah, blah." Like, okay, I have nothing to do with that. But yeah, that was a different story. I'm sure our athletic director was probably getting some threats and stuff during that time. But typically, it's good.
Yeah, the wild thing about Kentucky basketball is you guys have a lot of celebrities that go to the games. Do you ever see Ashley Judd there? She goes to all that shit.
I have actually seen her. I've never been close enough to say anything, but they show her on the big screen and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's always at the games. She's always in like a weird cast now. She has these bizarre accidents in like the rainforest and shit. They had to airlift her out of there. Her leg broke in like 19 different places. And it was like, dude, you're that rich. Why are you going to hike through the jungles of the Amazon as an older white woman? Like that makes zero sense whatsoever. And then she'll show up at the Kentucky basketball games with a full body cast on. She won't miss a game.
Is she going to be at the Derby? It's next weekend, right?
Yeah. Derby's next weekend. You ever been?
I have not. Not to the Derby. That's in Louisville. So it's about 45 minutes away, but I would love to go. So we'll see about this year.
It's a quick drive up there. Dan and I went, was it last year?
Yeah, last year, but it was like, I think 20% capacity or something.
Great.
So it was pretty easy to move around. Ideal. Drink lines were short.
Yep.
Papa John was there, not saying.
Yeah, we saw Papa John there. I know he was a big Kentucky guy, or Louisville guy.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Louisville. And I know that's one of your rivals. But I can confirm he didn't say the N-word to me when I met him. And
is he a T-shirt fan, or did he go to Louisville?
I think he went there, right, Bob?
Let me double check. I think he's T-shirt-ish.
No, he went to Ball State, bro.
Oh, he went to Ball State?
Fucking loser.
Yeah, he's a
it's the same color.
It's the same mascot, too.
Yeah, same color, same mascot.
So he just like slyly upgraded. Without anyone noticing.
Papa John.
Yeah, but you shouldn't take any pride in being from or near Indiana. Just my opinion. I don't know why. That's how I feel, man. I don't like it.
Sure. No, I get it.
Does Drake still come around campus?
Yeah, does Drake still come around? I saw him in some of those games.
I don't think in my time he has. He was supposed to have a free student concert for the students and stuff here. But I think with COVID and stuff, I don't know if he ever got around to that.
Man, I really hope the 76ers don't blow this series because you'll never hear the end of
Drake. Yeah, you'll never hear the end of Drake.
Like, Drake will never shut the fuck up. Forget about Kawhi Leonard coming in for 1 year and win a championship. Why? If they come back from down 0-3 against Embiid and Harden,
yeah,
that's it for basketball. I can't ever watch it again.
Don't throw that into the universe, please. Jesus Christ.
Look, man, tell your guys to play better. It's not my fucking fault.
All right, I want to hop into playlists. What do you swim to? What are you listening to before you jump in the pool?
I'm honestly not that picky. Being from Nashville, I do like country music. But really, I listen to music first, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's your go-to in country?
Yeah, not really. Probably Luke Combs. I like him a lot. But I just went to the Chris Stapleton concert that was at Kroger Field the other day, and I had Willie Nelson and Sheryl Crow, which was great. And so that was a lot of fun. But I don't know if I'd listened to that before I swim.
So I went to Chris Stapleton. Willie Nelson opened up for him.
Probably
the same tour, dude. Chris Stapleton, that guy.
He's great. He's like, he sounds almost better in real life than he does on your phone, which is crazy.
It's nuts. He's one of the few people where you're just like, holy shit. If there is a God, it's probably Chris Stapleton's voice where you're just like, geez, dude. I mean, I was blown away. At one point I was looking around because it sounded so identical to iTunes that I was just like, dude, is this dubbed?
Right? Like,
it's unreal. It's unreal. Yeah.
No, he's fantastic. And so, but really, I listen to whatever. So, not too picky there.
Okay. Because I always wondered, like, what Phelps was listening to before he got in the pool. And and eventually, at the end of the Olympics, they dropped his playlist.
Right.
And there was a company that came on air, Dan, what was that, 2 or 3 years ago? And they developed a software that's...
It's a football player.
Yeah.
I can see his face.
I know, so can I. We've done like 2,500 shows on here, but they lock into the athlete's headphones pregame, so that way when you're at home, you can just listen to the music that they're actually listening to while they're warming up or they're going to the Olympics. It was dope.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they were trying to cut a deal with all the athletes and everything else.
Well, Mahomes is one of the owners of the company.
Correct. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is one of the owners from the Chiefs.
Yeah, it'll something will go eventually. You would think.
Yeah.
With that guy behind it.
But I was waiting for you to say like death metal, you know, something like Lamb of God or something like that. And you didn't
go
there.
I don't know about that. That sounds like it would strain your vocal cords.
Because warming up to country is not really the jam unless you're going like old school Charlie Daniels, Devil Went Down to Georgia or something like that.
Right.
Especially going to Kentucky. Like that would play. But the rest of it, you're not going to throw on, you know, Taylor Swift or Stapleton or those guys where it's just, yeah. And Florida Georgia Line's a little too poppy for my taste, country wise.
For sure. I don't know. At practices and stuff, we have like overhead speakers and stuff, and so our coaches will play music, and it's always a good environment, a lot of fun. They kind of alternate who gets to pick the music and stuff like that. So,
calorie wise, are you like Phelps? How many calories are you consuming?
Well, when we're swimming, I mean, we swim about 5 hours a day, not including lifting and things like that outside of the pool. So, I mean, you're burning easily 3,500 calories just with swimming in a day. And so I can eat. Yeah. I don't know if it's a talent or if it's something that, you know, is probably not a good thing, but all of us, we really throw back some food. So.
Yeah, we get a guy like that in here, too. He was a collegiate wrestler, very small. You guys are probably about the same size, same
like
frame.
5 foot tall, 65, 70 pounds.
Maybe. Go ahead and flex about that athlete dining hall. Tell him more about what they didn't have in college.
Look at this.
That cordon bleu, did you have the pasta bar where they'd make you fresh pasta?
Are you able to see Giorgio on your screen?
She can't.
On one of the producers?
No.
Okay. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know what pops up on her side, but, you know. You guys have the same hair color, everything. Like it's very close. It's very close. Same for, he's a dainty man. He's very prince-ish. He's got a prince figure. I was unaware though that you had your own personal chefs at the dining hall.
Yeah, we do. Actually, I think Kentucky is one of the only places, only college campuses for athletes that also has like a nutrition lab. And so they have kitchens and all kinds of different food and, I mean, eggs, all kinds of different fish, bacon, sausage, ham, turkey, blah, 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 that you can actually go in and cook for yourself, which is pretty cool. They have different nutritionists who are there who help you learn how to cook if you're coming into college and don't really know anything like that. And I believe we're the only place with that. And so that's really cool. Smoothie bars, stuff like that. But we also have our dining hall called Training Table, which is in the football stadium, which every day they provide us dinner and stuff. And there's always like your vegetables, main entrees, dessert. You have salad bar every day. You have fruit bar every day. There's always like a station, which I think today is stir fry. But they'll have, I mean, sushi bowls, and I think tomorrow is crepes. And so each day is different.
This is the most complicated way anyone has ever called me poor.
Yeah, dude. You just called D'Anthony a poor.
I'm so sorry.
A peasant, a poor. You're having creepies.
God, damn it.
You're having little tasty little creepies, that are made by a French chef. And Dan was eating ramen.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay's in there fucking slinging crepes around for everybody. Meanwhile.
My God, you've got Colonel Sanders up in that bitch. Making the chicken himself for you.
He's not a real colonel, by the way. He's a Kentucky colonel.
No, he's a colonel, and he'll be recognized as such. Is there a statue of him on campus?
I don't believe on campus, but we definitely have some KFCs around. So.
All right, because would the statue get taken down too? I'm kidding. For the Colonel Sanders.
KFC to me is still the best fast fried chicken place.
I love it so much.
Popeyes, I understand. I get it, man. It tastes good sometimes, but I want the extra crispy Kentucky fried motherfucking chicken.
Same.
And if you bring something else to my house, I'm going to fuck you up.
Chances are we're not friends.
No.
We're not friends.
If you were my friend, you would have done that in the first place.
Exactly. Georgie, what were you about to pop in and say there?
I just want to know, do you guys get to go boxes as well?
Yes.
Yeah, the football team used to always do that. They'd stack like three of them high. They'd have like four or five steaks in. One was just an entire pizza, like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, we do. Even last night, I don't know if I should probably share this because I might get in trouble.
Go ahead.
I mentor this little girl. It's actually through a program. You get paired with a mentor whose parents are in prison. And so I hang out with this little girl. I've been doing it for 4 years, and she's, I think, 10 now. And I brought her dinner from Training Table, and we ate together. So kind of funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, nobody's going to slam you for that. You're fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
No, with NIL now, everything's legal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Giorgio, he was a Division I wrestler for an SEC school for Mizzou.
No, we were Big 12 back in the day. I'm old.
Yeah.
So nice. That's cool. I don't think we have wrestling here.
Nah, it's a pretty shitty sport. You're good.
It's a what?
It's a shitty sport. No one comes. Like, no one really cares at all.
Really?
More people go to swimming than come to wrestling.
The only reason it still exists is because there's still Olympic wrestling. And there will always be Olympic wrestling because that was the very first.
They got rid of Olympic wrestling like a few years ago for like
they tried.
Olympics.
They tried to, yeah.
They tried.
Yeah.
It is literally the first event ever in Olympic history.
Oh, yeah.
Why in the fuck would you? It's a tent pole, bitch.
They don't even do it naked anymore. It's stupid.
That is true.
Bring back naked.
There's not as much oil as there used to be either.
Yeah, it used to be guy on guy, a lot of oil, and, you know.
I feel like this is how we solve the ratings problem.
Maybe.
That's how the ratings drop in the toilet, my man. All right.
Hard disagree.
There's a whole
market for that.
Professional wrestling, like wrestling, is pretty popular, and it's just dudes in tights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweaty, oiled up dudes in tights.
But you got to have a good personality, and you got to have a sweet catchphrase.
All I'm saying is we take away the tights.
Exactly.
And we also have a women's division. Women's wrestling's super popular.
What would be your catchphrase?
Get over here.
No, that's Scorpion,
God,
bitch.
Dude.
Scorpion already did that.
Get over here.
In like 1993, whenever the first Mortal Kombat came out.
Yeah, it's an homage.
Fuck off out of here. No, that's trademarked. Copyright infringement. Not an homage. You're not Kanye. Fuck off.
When I was at the AEW match, it was there was a wrestler called The Hangman, and his catchphrase was cowboy shit. And everybody chants, cowboy shit, cowboy shit,
but
cowboy
wait,
shit.
How does that make any sense? His name's The Hangman.
Yeah, he wears this cowboy getup, and then he drinks beers into the ring, and like the whole thing was... he's a reformed alcoholic, and then the wrestlers are making him drink again. So he gets in there and dominates. Like, it's awesome. I'm all into the whole shit.
This sounds like a guy who couldn't pick a personality.
No, it's like they. It's like my fave. It's like they took the WWE and then added like Bravo and what's the one? Oxygen maybe. Lifetime. That's it. Lifetime. You just add all those storylines in together. Maybe you could put Ben Simmons in one of these.
Maybe
because he's lost it now.
Yeah, we'll find out. Now's the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you, helps you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to, Riley? And it could be a girl, obviously, alive or dead. We don't care.
Oh gosh. Let's see. I'm going to give it to two. I'm sorry. My head coach here, he's like I said earlier, he's like my best friend. If I had one call to get me out of jail, I'm calling him. He's been so supportive of me. He's really developed me as a student, an athlete, a person. So he's great. His name is Lars Jorgensen. He's just the best. If any recruits to colleges swimming are listening right now, he's the best. You're not going to find a better coach than him anywhere in the NCAA. And two, probably my coach growing up. She was my coach from when I was 8 to 18, pretty much, which is really rare with swimming. Typically, you know, when you move up age groups and stuff, you get new coaches, but she's kind of been there through it all with me. Her name is Andrea. And she's the greatest. She's from Romania. So she's kind of a mean, stern lady, but she's like my second mom. So those two people have really shaped me and gotten me to where I am. And I could not express any more gratitude than, I have for them. They're just the best. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And if you don't mind, I'm going to give one out real quick. It's I'm going to give out a drinking bro of the week to Bill Dorncott, who is the head coach for the female swimming team at The Ohio State University. So if you're out there and you're getting recruited, there's probably no better place to swim than The Ohio State University. That is Bill Dorncott's mentor of young women and developing champions there at The Ohio State University. Sorry about that.
I think you had to look that up really quick, though.
I'm sorry? No, that was off the... I knew it off the top of my head. Yeah. I study it, whatever. And that's just me knowing things in the world.
I've got... I'd put $500 down that that's not even how you say his goddamn name.
You might be right. Riley, tell everybody where they can find you.
My Instagram, which was mentioned earlier and probably shamed down at the bottom of my posts, is riley.gaines. I think my Twitter is riley.gaines. Don't actively use Facebook very much. I think that's kind of for old people.
I love to hear it. True. We just said that.
I fucking hate Facebook.
Yes, we just said that like 2 weeks ago on the show. It's like, I feel like no one uses it anymore.
It's a good place to stay in the loop, but don't really use Facebook. Mostly Instagram and Twitter, so.
Okay, perfect. And then last question, because we've gotten this in the chat for the entire show. Are you single and can people slide in your DMs is what people are asking here on the chat. You're married.
No, I'm engaged.
Okay, congratulations. Yes, that's great.
Thank you. Actually, a couple weeks ago, got engaged. His name is Louis. He actually swam here for 3 years and graduated. And so he's back in Nashville. So he's great. He's from London, England. So he's got the cool accent.
Not London, Kentucky.
Yeah.
No, not London, Kentucky. typically I want my Southern American boy, but he's done a 180. So
that's awesome. And congratulations. And since he's a swimmer, your children will dominate for years to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess so.
And the beauty of it is if your daughters aren't dominating, well, then you can just switch to men and have them, do whatever they want. Jesus why not? Christ. Why not at this point? We appreciate you being here today. Yeah. I love the way you've gone about your story and everything else. Much continued success in the future and best of luck becoming a dentist.
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity. I don't know if you guys realize, but that's not just me speaking. It's past, present, and future athletes. So it means a lot.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone. and foremost, our title sponsor, OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you an extra $35 off at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. From USDA certified tender steaks to burgers and more, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience, guaranteed to secure your spot as dad's favorite. Shop OmahaSteaks.com and give dad the legendary heartland quality he deserves. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Here's what I love about Omaha Steaks. It's easy to use. Shows up right at your house in a huge styrofoam cooler full of dry ice, even in the hot, hot state of Texas down here. It keeps it nice and cool. Shit, mine, I was gone for 36 hours, dude, and it was still great when I returned. Ton of options over there for Omaha Steaks as far as delivery goes. Now, obviously, the steaks are to die for. The fan favorite is the filet mignon, which has earned the coveted distinction of USDA certified tender, and their all-new smash burgers are built for the grill, but they also carry mouth-watering chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, an easy to prepare comfort food. My wife loves the apple tart desserts they have over there. And each steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. They're a family owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. This Father's Day, give dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for a guaranteed perfect gift that delivers legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. It is OmahaSteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Just go ahead and see this site for details. Bravo!
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.